This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Join Satan's crew, heavy metal crew, right?
Come along and play with Satan.
Play with Satan, that's what you do.
Yeah.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And we have the fantastic chance to speak to Sean Byrne. Yes, he of The Loved Ones. He's back. It's with The Devil's Candy, and it's playing. It's actually at the Night Shift program, or stream, I think they call them now, at Melbourne International Film Festival, coming up very soon, playing 10th of August and the 12th of August. Yay. So welcome to the show, Sean.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a bit about The Devil's Candy, obviously without giving it away, what it's about?
It kind of tried and true haunted house formula. It's a family that move into a house that has a dark past, and that dark past comes back to haunt them. Hopefully the execution is something, you know, kind of different. It's almost like if you imagine Amityville Horror meets Metallica, it might give you a bit of a sense of the style of the film. It's a heavy metal horror film, and you know, it may be supernatural, it may not. Leaves a little bit up to interpretation, whether, you know, where evil actually comes from, whether it's born from us as humans, or whether we are potentially vessels for, you know, something more subterranean. So that's kind of the film. Hopefully I didn't give too much away.
No, very reminiscent, I guess, of almost like, kind of like the home invasion, but in a slightly different way, with the heavy metal aspect, which has been called, you know, the thrill ride packed with heavy metal by Clem Busto. I think it was for The Guardian, called it that. And if people are, you know, even if you don't like the music, it's very captivating and works really well. Reminds me of Deafgasm, but obviously a lot more intense. I don't know if you've seen Deafgasm or...
No, I haven't yet. I really want to see it, just because I've heard a lot of good things, and anything metal I'm kind of into. But yeah, I think with the Devil's Candy, it's you definitely don't need to be a metal fan to enjoy it. The soundscape is, you know, like thematically relevant. I mean, there's always been a link between rock and roll and the devil's music. You know, rock and roll being considered the devil's music, and also, I mean, there's a certain aggression and violence that sort of metal can kind of conjure up, and it can be like a defense, but it can also be something that's really attacking. And so I think it's, you know, the family who are our protagonists in the film, you know, they have a love of metal and rock and roll, and also on the darker side where you've got a character who's hearing voices. He basically strums his electric guitar to try and block out the, you know, the sound of the devil that you don't know whether he's actually really hearing whether he's really hearing the devil himself or whether it's mental illness. And but anyway, the actual, you know, there's a kind of a sonic assault to the film that is it's within the actual narrative, you know, as opposed to just being a soundtrack choice.
Yeah, no, it's some pretty amazing. It does need to be played loud. I hope that the cinema will amp it up, literally, for the screen.
I hope so. I mean, that's the mantra of the film.
It has to be loud. A Pruitt Taylor Vince, who plays Ray Smiley, he's extraordinary. And when he says, "I got to play it loud," obviously to drown out the voices, you really feel that sonic infection sort of invading your, you know, what you're doing. And I found myself really drawn into it when he starts to make the feedback come out of his, I believe it's a Gibson Red Flying Bee, his guitar. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we had Sun, who are probably the world's greatest kind of exponents of doom metal. They worked on the soundtrack, and Ray's kind of like he's got a sort of a hell march, which it's just like strumming the guitar, but it's so discordant and distorted, That's why I think it's so important to see it in a theatre, because it kind of blurs the line between cinematic experience and kind of concert experience, because you feel it kind of from the ground up, which is ironic because maybe it really is coming from the ground up if it's something sort of satanic. But yeah, you feel the kind of the vibrations and the walls shaking, and hopefully the film itself, as the story deepens, kind of feels like a wall of dread, you know, just sort of closing in, even a sonic sort of wall of dread. I'm a huge David Lynch fan, and I think one of the greatest things Lynch does is these amazing nightmarish sort of soundscapes where
he composes them too, like a lot of them. He composes and does the music for himself. I think he's a bass player, is that right? Guitar bass player, isn't he?
David Lynch.
He's got his own
band and everything. I think it's sort of Angelo Badalamenti.
Angelo Badalamenti.
is his composer. But whoever sort of the sound design. I just love how you kind of end up falling into a nightmare where naturalism is replaced by something far more abstract and hellish. And suddenly you're not in kind of, you know, it's like, am I in the real world or am I kind of floating in a nightmare? I just love that style of filmmaking, a more expressionistic style of filmmaking that can, you know, where the visuals and the sound can kind of slide into kind of madness and for it to happen kind of organically as well, where you kind of, as an audience, you're not quite sure where you're going, but you know things are just getting deeper and darker.
Yeah, no, you've answered most of my questions. That's great. That's cool. Now, if you could choose a Metallica song, what would be your favourite? Do you have a...
Fade to Black is probably
Fade
the...
Fade to Black, yeah.
It's probably the track that I play the most. But the film ends with For Whom the Bell Tolls, which is another one of my favourites. And, I mean, I'm still in a state of shock that we got Metallica on the soundtrack. There's actually two Metallica songs, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and there's a cover of Diamond Head's Am I Evil. And, it was an absolute miracle. For Whom the Bell Tolls was used on a Warner Brothers film, Project X, and I think it cost like $500,000 for a studio film. And we're a small independent film, but that we, you know, reached out to Metallica, and Metallica's manager said, well, they'll, you know, the band will consider it. They want to see the film first. Mm-hmm. And we sent them kind of a rough cut. And, you know, you've seen the film. You know how reliant it is on sort of on sound. So yeah. I was like, oh, this is never going to work. Mm. And but they saw it and really loved the film. And it's a bit of a love letter to Kirk Hammett as well. And they gave it to us for a tiny amount of money. So, but the incredible thing is once we had Metallica, then all these other bands that I'd written into the script that I was told, you're insane, there's no way we're going to get these, like Queens of the Stone Age and Cavalier Conspiracy and Slayer, all these other bands couldn't ask for any more money than Metallica. Like, you can't really ask for any more than the Beatles of metal are asking. And so everyone else fell into line and then didn't ask for very much money. So, yeah, it's an incredible soundtrack for an indie film.
Yeah, that is amazing. Yeah. You just love it. It just wraps you in. Now, the artwork, the paintings, so without giving away too much, who did the artwork for those amazing...
Stephen Kasner is his name, and he's represented by H.R. Geiger's agent, and...
Wow.
Yeah, I was just kind of surfing the net trying to find, I didn't know which artist who was going to kind of capture the right, you know, kind of dripping evil sort of tone. And then I just came across this image of a snake, and it was just really dark and beautiful and elegant. And, cause, you know, I always think of Satan as being quite, you know, he's got to be quite sophisticated and elegant.
Oh, well, apparently he is. I mean, if you read Genesis, yeah, he's quite dashing, I guess, or has, you know, is described as beautiful and menacing all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's seductive.
It's got to be a seductive kind of side.
It'd have to be androgynous too, a little bit, I think. It'd have to be pretty, amazing, which suits us.
The Satan in Passion of the Christ, I always think it's probably... Dick was a pretty amazing kind of ultimate kind of androgynous Satan. The guy who does the kind of key artwork, once we reached out to him, he's actually a member of the Church of Satan. He's kind of like ordained minister who's sort of, he could speak on their behalf, and which is kind of cool. He was like, oh, well, we're going sort of to the source.
Yeah, literally.
But it was a really nice guy. He was kind of, I rang him. We were just, you know, we'd be discussing the artwork as it was unfolding. And at one point, I kind of rang up and we were having a chat. And then his mum picks up the phone. And he's like, Mum, I'm like, you know, it's a work call. And as soon as like it didn't seem quite so intimidating. Once Mum picks up the phone, then it's like, oh, well, you know.
It's business.
Yeah.
So you've set it in Texas. Was there any reason around why it was set there? Or?
No, other than it just had the best, it just had the best kind of financial incentive. It was the most affordable place to shoot at the time. But I guess the one kind of non-negotiable was I wanted to shoot somewhere where it was hot, and to get a sense of kind of, you know, just heat sort of rising as well, and somewhere that had farmlands, and so that was, yeah. But we had a look at kind of, you know, Georgia as well, and to begin with it was written to be shot in some of it in LA and some of it in kind of Ojai, which was sort of, you know, further out with kind of farmlands, but in the end Texas was the cheapest.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Cool. I'll have to let you go very soon, but he's wearing a t-shirt, Ethan Embry, who plays, this is quite a departure for him, I guess, in this role that he's playing, as the male lead in it, as the dad, as the artist. And he's got the t-shirt saying, "Find what you love and let it kill you." I love that t-shirt. Was that his or was that you?
So that was written into the script, so we created that t-shirt. I actually thought that it was a Bukowski quote, and we got in contact with the Bukowski estate, and it turns out that he didn't say it, even though it's all over the net that it's like it's Bukowski sentencing. He actually didn't. So we ended up being able to use it and make a t-shirt. And I think and that's also a little bit of what the film's about. Is in a way, it's kind of reminiscent of the of the Crossroads story and the temptation of an artist to kind of sell his soul to the devil for, you know, to be the best artist that he can possibly be, and that's kind of where the t-shirt comes from. Like, find what you love and let it kill you.
Because it probably will eventually, whatever it might be. Hopefully not filmmaking, but we will have to wrap it up. But look, it's been great speaking to you, Sean, after all this time. I spoke to you ages ago when you did The Loved Ones, and that was...
I remember, yeah.
That was pretty cool. And I saw that recently at a Feminist Film Festival. We played The Loved Ones, and you'll be happy to know people got up and walked out in terror.
That's good. It's good that it's still having that effect on people.
And it was the guys walking out. It was really funny to watch men walking out thinking, what? You know, because it's a feminist film, Girls on Film Festival. And I was surprised. But other people were laughing their heads off and loving it. So there you go. It's a great film. It still has great feedback and impact.
It's good. It's funny how some people see it as a cover, you really enjoy the black comic kind of undertones, and other people don't see any black comedy and just think it's like...
I just want to throw up. Someone threw up out back. Someone actually threw up. So it's like, really?
I think it's the drill, great.
The part with the drill in the skull, you know, that part. Pour the water in. That's the one. Yeah.
Well, that's the moment. Oh, I'm glad someone threw up. That's about the best review I could get.
The one you know about. All right. Well, I'll have to let you go. But before you do, if you've got a few seconds, I wonder if you could do a station ID or a show ID. It's just Sci-Fi and Scream, obviously your name, on Joy 94.9, if that's all right.
Cool.
I know it's a bit rushed today.
Should I just say my name?
Yeah, your name. Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. You're listening to or whatever you like.
Yeah,
cool.
Hi, this is Sean. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Screen on Hi, this is Sean. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy FM. Is that?
Yeah, that's cool. Can you say your last name? I'm sorry, Sean.
What is it? Joy FM or 92 Joy?
94.9. Joy 94.9. Yeah.
Joy 94.9. Yeah, hi, this is Sean Byrne. You're listening to, my brain.
That's all right.
Sci-Fi
and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
Sci-Fi and Scream. Scream.
This is what happens when you have twins.
Oh, good on you.
Hi, this is Sean Byrne. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9 Joy FM.
Cool, thank you. That's great. Well, good luck. The screenings again,
August 12th.
August 12th at the Melbourne International Film Festival. Excellent. You can still go online and join up, or should I say buy a ticket, and join Satan's crew, heavy metal crew. Right. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks so much. come along can come along and play with Satan.
Play with Satan. That's what you do.
Yeah. All right. Thanks
cheers.
So much.
I'll let you go. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.